Fuck you, Matt. That's a stupid suggestion.
Tall Can Audio.
It's graceful and beautiful and physical and angry all at the same time.
Were you to do it, your mind would cave in and your heart would explode within your chest.
This is going to be a shame.
Here we go!
Welcome inside the TCA studio in beautiful Bytown, Canada. The Stanley Cup Final underway, the CFL season underway, another week of Tall Can Audio underway. I don't know the name of the stupid show. Matt Robinson over here, Rob over there. What's happening, man? Your tongue any less fat than mine as we sit here right now?
No chance. No chance. And as somebody who, just in the not too distant past, tried to open the show without knowing the name of the show.
Right. Good morning, TCS.
Whatever it was, it was not right.
No.
And I'd only listened to you do it a bunch of times. So I feel...
Well, maybe the problem is you've heard me botch it enough times that you felt compelled to botch it too.
Yeah, well, you want to fit in.
Yeah.
Well, and so it really comes down to glass houses, stones, sure, all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So you know what, man? We're just going to... I'm happy you do what you do over there.
Okay.
And the weather sucks. As nice as it was last weekend, I find it to be equal parts shite this weekend.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
And as somebody who just planned a birthday party for 80 people,
right,
that was supposed to be a little indoor, a little outdoor, became all indoor.
Entirely burned.
Yeah, so Rob, less pleased. Most of you don't care. You're like, whatever. I don't cut the grass.
Well, this is why if you good listener are as tuned in as I am.
Astute.
Yeah, you're hearing Rob's voice just a little bit beat up. Just a little maybe tired. He's had a big week of organizing a late night.
Finished with a lot of Macarena.
Sure. Oh, yeah. How do you not break out the Macarena at a party for an 80-year-old's birthday? People throwing out replaced hips and...
Yeah. Well, and we're still looking for the mystery is, who gave the 80-year-old the hula hoop as a gift?
Some pervert, I'm told.
Well, as my younger brother said, some creepy pervert. And I'm like... Nobody was going there.
It's a family party.
Nobody was going there. I don't know where you got that idea, but...
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm feeling a bit...
You just sound a little tired.
I took it at a medium pace yesterday.
Tell me to slow down and do it at a medium pace.
I didn't light it up.
Okay.
But I did consume enough beer... And stayed up long enough that you just feel, and a lot of planning. It's like planning, almost like planning a wedding with the amount of.
Yeah, well, once you get up into that many guests and.
Feeding them.
Yeah.
And tables and renting tables and chairs. And
then, like I said, the weather sucks. So now there's an extra wrinkle to contend with. And to me, it sounds more like, not that you're hungover necessarily, but I said this to you in the green room. You've been at a wedding or something like that, or even a concert where. When we're talking, there's probably a lot of other people talking and there's music going on. So you've been speaking loudly all night.
Why are you still talking? I'm talking. Shut up.
Yeah. Just a tiny little bit of raspiness there, man. But it just means it sounds like a good time was had by all.
And I need to soak my brain in a bit more beer.
Yeah.
I think for the good bounce back.
Yeah.
But there is something, once we open the beers, there's something I want to come back to.
Okay. Well, why don't we do that now? We can help Rob quench his throat here, his brain, as he said. This comes from the Dominion City Brewing Company. We're both going to try it. It is in a very large bottle, which doesn't bode well for anybody's bladder in the second half of the show, but we'll
see. That seems like a direct shot.
Yeah. Well, I was willing to lump myself in, but you've outed yourself here now. This is from Dominion. This is a dark saison, which I'm fascinated by. And I know you're not always a huge saison person, but the idea of a dark saison, I am intrigued by that while you...
Honest to God, man, this is...
It's like the last one that had the wax all over it that took a half hour to get into.
But it's like, are we using the same bottle opener?
No.
Okay, you use yours.
Mine's open.
Okay, then pass me yours over here.
This is mine on my keychain. The good old Need a Beer Company bottle opener.
Oh, God bless you. Because this one here, it's like a bent key or something.
It's the old Steam Whistle Railroad Spike bottle opener.
It's like the... It's like it's on the reverse side. Oh, look at that.
Way to go, man.
Still with the steam whistle. Spike, I didn't use yours. I'm a big boy.
So, yeah, this comes, like I said, now that we've worked our way through this, the Dominion City Brewing Company, their Dark Saison, it is a very large bottle coming in at 4.7%. We'll see what they got going on.
It smells yeasty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I haven't poured it into a glass. I'm just going to drink it right out of the... But what's your take on that? Because as you suggested, I am not normally a Saison guy, but...
It's a little more tart than I would have expected, maybe.
Well, it smells. It's got that vinegary, yeasty...
Yeah. Not as much spice or as sometimes you would get from like a farmhouse Saison or something like that, but a little bit of tartness. Not the term you'd give it?
Yeah, no, I'm totally getting... It has almost a really sour finish.
Yeah. Which I wouldn't have expected out of something they're calling a dark Saison.
Right. And I'm not getting whatever it is that's supposed to lend the darkness. I can only assume it's a little more malty than you would.
Yeah.
That I'm not getting any of that.
No.
So it's very sourish. Tart to me is a good descriptor, but all the hallmarks of a Saison that I don't like are present.
Okay. Well.
And there's only another 500 milliliters to go.
At least.
I'm good, man. I'm a trucker. I'm a trooper here. We can pull through this. Coming in at 4.7, is that what you said?
Yeah. So we will use this opportunity to for the good listener to wish Rob a happy birthday on Monday.
Oh, it's true.
Fuck just slides on another year older and
keeps going.
Yeah.
Keeps going.
And he's going to be punished here with a beer he doesn't like.
Happy birthday!
In huge quantities.
Douchebag. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. And really, it comes down to there is a, as I said, I've been listening to a bunch of different things, and there was these two beer guys who know more than you and I.
Yeah, but, right.
Yeah. No. They both...
probably not.
Thank you, Alfie. Heavily towards a Saison or a Hefeweizen. Like, that is their go-tos. As much as you and I are both sort of porter stout guys.
Yep.
They are. So it's, hey, man, beer is a crazy, wild world.
Well, so I was ordering up a couple things from Dominion, both for you and for me. And I took a stab with this. And like I said off the top, I know a Saison is not traditionally your thing, but I was intrigued by the dark Saison. What spin that might put on it. But you're right. This is coming off as more of a sour or a tart. Like not full sour, but there is way more sourness to it than I would have expected. So sometimes you swing and miss. And
sure, man. Take another pull on that. And it's like I drink it and it's sort of... There's some kind of pop that it reminds me of, or it's like either part soda, maybe tonic, like something.
Yeah.
You get a little of that, like in the carbonation at the finish, top of your mouth at the back. It's just kind of a, tonic or a whisk or a Collins mix. The shit that you and your dad or your grandfather would have around to mix with, you know, whatever. And you're like,
right.
There's no pop or anything around. I'm going to take some of this.
But I still must continue drinking.
And you're like, it's not that great. And then dad would come around later going, where's the Collins mix? Where's the tonic? And you're like, I don't know, dad. Have no idea, man. Somebody must have.
Somebody else.
Somebody else must have enjoyed that or
let's
not.
Let's get him, dad.
Or not enjoyed that. I think I saw the can crunched up behind the shed back there. There may be some fingerprints, dad being
the
long time.
Behind the shed is
it's
bringing me back a little bit. There was an old shed out behind our house that sometimes especially in the winter, you can bury the evidence for a long time. You know what? If I'm going to get in shit for that, it'll be in March and right here in January, I'm fine.
It makes me think of, I'm maybe, I don't know, 9 or 10 and, they had got this huge box of dad's cookies and you know, I love the dad's
I do
cookies.
Know that.
And so
when we used to travel, Rob and I coached in a group of youngsters. There'd be a lot of people who would go up to the lunch venue and there would be a dad's cookie that they would give you with part of your, you know, your sandwich or your whatever your bagged lunch was. And most people would have, you know, probably 6, 7 out of 10, maybe not interested in the cookie, but Rob would send them back. Yeah, go get your cookie.
We're talking about this cookie. Go get that cookie and bring it back here.
Right.
So we had this big box of it, and I had to pound through 90% of it probably. But I was smart. I would open my bedroom window and pitch the wrapper out the window.
Because what criminal mastermind?
So it's fine until the winter passes.
Yeah, now there's 17.
And in the spring, you open up and they go, why is there like 20 Dad's cookie wrappers right at the dude, you're like, well, you'd think it would, some of them would flutter away. You'd right. think, nah, bam, right there. And you're like, okay, Einstein.
Yeah.
Busted. You're like, whatever. Could be worse.
Whatever.
Then it became Dad's, you know, amber rum.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever
Lots
else.
Lots of other containers.
It starts in one spot and moves to another.
Smearing off ice.
So at this party, and it was full on, like, to me, it was a huge sort of post, air quotes, post-pandemic.
Sure.
Moment. Lots of hugging, yep. kissing, handshaking.
Right. Hula hooping.
Yep. Hopefully very little hula hooping. But I walked over to an acquaintance.
Okay.
A friend. We won't say an acquaintance.
Right. Because they might be listening.
Yeah. And her husband, who I don't really know, she's like, oh, what are you drinking? And I'm like, oh, I told her I was drinking a little Walking on Sunshine. Little
Whoa.
Brew Revolution.
Don't it feel good?
Their New England style IPA. And mm-hmm. so he's like, she's like, have you ever had that? She says to her husband, and he's like, no, I don't like hoppy beers. Hmm. I'm like, all right, it's cool.
Yeah, fair
enough. Well, what are you drinking? He's like, I'm drinking normal beer.
Oh.
I'm like, what do you mean normal beer? Like, what's normal beer? And he's like, lager. Just beer, like real beer.
That's silly.
Yeah. I'm like, real beer? It's pedestrian, mofo. Have an imagination. Step outside your little crayon box there, my friend. The world is a wonderful place. Anyways.
We used to claim to be not judgmental of people who didn't want to come along on this ride.
But. Yeah, yeah. No. And it's fine. If somebody said
he
to me.
He started it.
If he said to me, he's like.
It's just not for me.
It's not me. I don't like hoppy beers. They're like, perfect.
All right.
I get it.
Sure.
Right. No.
Good to see you, Lever.
I'm drinking normal beer.
Yeah.
Normal beer? Anyways, it went on to, while I'm talking to him, this guy comes over and he's like, okay, I'm heading out. Thanks for the, you know, the party and everything. Great time. So I stick my hand out to give him the, you know, see you later.
Yeah.
And he short shakes me. I hate the short shake.
Yeah. Now like, we're going to fight.
Like, are you going to turn my hand and kiss my knuckle? Like, enchanté. You know, like, what are we doing here? Don't short shake me.
Well, you're about to kiss my knuckle.
Yeah, exactly. In a very vigorous fashion. So, handshaking, man. Thumb. Ooh, slide the hand in. Thumb to thumb. Shake. Whatever. You're a vigorous shaker. You're an arm slapper. Whatever your deal is. The short
the
shake.
The bro man hug.
Yeah, I got time for that.
Sure, bring it in.
But the short shake,
yeah.
That is the biggest Fox pass you can possibly do. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah. Well, especially, like, you got to hit him at that point. I'm trying to give you a normal handshake.
This is it, man. We're just trying to, like, do this. Anyways, he walks away, and I turn to the normal beer drinker.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was the normal beer
drinker. No, okay, different guy.
Okay.
Different guy.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. You can tell me which is better at the end of this, because then the guy walks away, and I turn to the guy who I've really just met.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah, fucker short shook me. He's like, I'm not defined by my handshake. What?
Yeah, you are. You may not know it.
That's what I just said to him. I'm like, you sure are. I'm like, that guy, I'm judging that guy, and now I'm judging you.
I can't imagine what limp fish you're about to throw in my hand here.
So I made him handshake my hand.
Yeah.
I'm like, we'll see it. Let's do it. We're going to do it right now.
Yeah.
Or there could be dire repercussions. You're at a family gathering and you're not family? Guess what? You are expendable.
You're about to get fought in the barn.
This is exactly right. Well, barn adjacent.
Okay.
So it's going to... Anyways, I thought...
So?
I'm not really... It was fine.
It was fine.
It was fine.
Okay.
He will not be defined by his handshake. No. It's true.
Okay.
Or by anything else. Not his intellect either. Or he may actually be defined by his...
Lack.
And so anyways, I was like, all right. Peace. See you later, buddy. I'm out of here.
I'm going to go talk to normal people.
Exactly. Who drink, who do normal things.
I think I've told this story before on the pod, but 100 years ago, 05, 06, whatever it is, Oshawa's opening up the new arena, the General Motors Center, first Jenny's home game. And my uncle has 4 season tickets that he's got left over from the Civic that he's moved over. But the family...
Cider or wine? You get a little bit of that? A little bit of...
Tiny bit of wine more than cider.
Yes, okay. That's what it is, I think. Getting a bit of that just in the finish. Carry on. Your uncle.
Yeah. So in the new arena... His business and a couple other had split on a suite as well. So he was going to be up in the suite, not using his 4 season tickets. So he gave me his 4 season tickets, dead center ice. So a couple of buddies and I come down. But like halfway through the game, my cousin who's up there with the big rollers, he texts me. He's like, the beers are free up here. You want me to come down and get you? Right. Because you need an escort pass to get up to that area.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you do that? So we go up and we watch the rest of the game up in the suite with my uncle and my dad and a bunch of their business partners and this and that. And so you're shaking hands with a bunch of people whose names you're never going to remember. They're all construction industry guys or whatever.
Larry, Bob, Joe, Chuck.
Definitely a Larry there, but I know Larry. Course. Larry's a good guy.
All right. Totally Larry's a good guy.
I think Larry bought me a beer the last time I was down at the Jenny's game just a month or so ago in the playoffs.
God bless you, Larry.
Love
that was,
Larry.
Now it was a Bud Light, if I recall your story.
In the arena, though, what's he going to do? There's only so many...
And that's not on you, Larry.
Sorry, Larry, you're right.
No, it's not on you, Larry. It's not directly on you. It's on the availability of high-quality pints.
Right. So we get up into the suite, and it's, like I said, it's me. I know a few of the... There's probably 10 to 12 of these industry types up there. I know 3 or 4 of them just through my dad and my uncle, and the rest I don't know. So, but now you're... It's this old school. Everybody's coming around, shaking hands, doing the full introduction, right? Well, not many of them present, but... So... There's this guy, and I, to the life of me, I'm not sure I ever saw him before or again, but he looked exactly like the New York Islanders Captain Highliner jersey. Remember
nice.
That? Yeah.
Yes. I know what you did last summer.
Right. So he's got the white beard and the, anyway. So he comes down the line. He's shaking hands, you know, I'm such and such. Who are you? Matt Robinson.
I'm Harlan Sanders.
Pretty much. Yeah. And he proceeds to land this clamp of a handshake on you at 104 years old or whatever he was. And he's showing you something. He will be defined by his handshake is the point he's trying to make. So he shakes hands with me and my buddy Miller, my buddy Shane, he gets to my buddy Mark. And, you know, I can't hear what all these guys are saying to each other. But a few minutes later, my buddy Mark comes over and kind of gives me the elbow. And he goes, hey, when that old fuck shook my hands, he tried to break me down, but I think I broke him by the end. So I have no idea how long the two of them clamped onto each other, grinding knuckles and whatever. Yeah. He's like, okay, I see. This is what you want to do. You want to try and squeeze the life out of me.
We're going to double down.
I can stand here just way longer than you, you old bastard.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that's what this guy was saying. He's like, yeah, those people who try and break your hand.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
Yeah, and I'm like... But I come from a long line of vigorous handshakers.
Sure.
Like my uncle.
Yeah, don't throw me the limp fish, but you don't have to try and clamp down here either.
So my uncle Bill he's a staunch. He's giving you the vigorous handshake and he's squeezing your arm at the same time. He's one of those. How you doing?
Right,
how you doing?
A two hand.
Yeah, it's a full. We're not hugging, but we're probably as close as we can, right? And so he's one of those guys. When you see him, he's like, he's happy to see me.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Sure.
I enjoy being in Uncle Bill's presence.
Okay. That old fuck tried to break me down.
Yep. Well, and I sent him on his way. Beat it, you 90-year-old degenerate.
Let's start with Oilers-Panthers. Game 1 in the books.
Banderos.
I know you had other commitments on Saturday night, but you did manage to check out the important parts afterwards. Let's start here, because I don't know if you saw it, so I'll present the... the facts for maybe the good listener who might have missed it as well. At the very beginning of the game, they're doing the opening ceremonies, right? Introducing everybody and not quite like opening night where they do the entire lineups, but they do the starting lineup of both teams and they bring the cup out onto the ice.
What?
Yeah. Which we never used to see, right? It was always kind of saved for...
It's in the building
on an elimination night.
This is it.
You see the box coming in, the limo that it's in, the what's his name? Philip Pritchard with the white gloves, the keeper of the cup. And he's polishing it up. And so there's been a little bit of debate throughout Saturday night and Sunday as to whether or not that was the right thing to do. And I'm just curious. Like I said, I know you didn't see live. I'm not sure if they would have included that in the highlights
they did
you
not.
Saw. But I'll be honest with you, man. As long as they don't do this every game, I think I'm okay with the idea. Like
eyes on the prize.
Yeah,
this is what you're playing for.
Right. Before game one, here it is. And I would have thought before this happened, if you had asked me this, I would have said, no, don't do that. There's something to the it doesn't arrive until someone can win it and everything we just talked about. But to bring it out there just before game one, what was the thing during the old USO specials? Like, this is who you're fighting for, boys, right? They bring out some young model or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I kind of like it before game one. We're going to have it be part of the opening ceremony, but I don't want to see it again for game two or every night. Jeff Merrick on 32 Thoughts, he's saying he'd like to see it prominently displayed, maybe behind the benches or something through the whole series. Constantly... No, I don't like that either. You did almost see, like, when they brought it out before game one, the guys were uncomfortable. The players were backing away from it a little bit. Now, to me, that's a little silly, but there is that superstition, right? Don't go near it. Don't touch it. Don't lift it if you want
you
a chance to...
You saw it with
to...
both of the conference trophies.
Yeah. So, but I'll be honest with you. Like I said, having seen it now, I'm more in favor of it than I would have been had you asked me beforehand. Just before game one, here's what you're about to go to war over. Any thoughts on the idea?
I'm against it.
Yeah?
I'm against it. Only in the fact that I do like the tradition of, you don't see it. And when you do see it, it's like I have many different memories of the Grey Cup. Mm-hmm. Where you'd see a couple of Mounties bringing it out late in the fourth quarter. You don't see it before then.
Yeah.
It's like it's coming. The trophy is coming out because it's now. This is when you see
someone's in position to grab it.
It's like a bride on her wedding day.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
You're not supposed to see her until, bam, it's time. For whatever that is.
There's not some guy with white gloves polishing her up before you get to her, is there?
Have you been behind that door, Matt? You have no idea.
No, no, I don't.
None of us have, unless you're the guy with the white gloves.
Yeah.
So none of us know. And so that's how I would like to keep it.
Yeah.
I don't need to see it. To me, it seems like a very ESPN kind of a thing.
Now, apparently the league has been pushing for this for a while. And maybe it is more the TV networks than anything else, right? Get it on screen a little bit more. And it was apparently on the Sunday edition of 32 Thoughts, Friedman said it was all but locked and ready to go last year. It was going to happen. And at the last possible second, one of the two teams strongly reasserted their objection. We do not want it out here beforehand. We don't want it anywhere near.
I guess we know that that's Vegas.
Must have been. Now that it's been allowed to happen.
Yes.
So it's apparently a thing that not everybody's comfortable with, but just being honest with you, I didn't hate it the way it was done. But like I said, if we do it again, either in game two or game three, because now it's the first game in Edmonton, no, put it away before game one, give a look at it, and now go to war for it. I got time for that.
Well, and to me, the not seeing it, like Merrick's idea of having it displayed
prominently
between the benches.
Hanging from the clock at center ice.
Yeah, with a glow around it or whatever. And you're like, it cheapens it.
Yes,
it does.
It,
to me, it's the...
Less is more. I do agree.
It's the mystique of the whole thing. When you see it, it's like, it's that moment on Christmas Day when you unwrap the big thing and you're like...
Or even you first come down and see under the tree. Yeah.
And
no,
that,
you're right.
That to me, you the more you see it, it lessens the mystique. That to me is... I would rather, I'm not going to fight you on it,
right?
But I would much rather see it the other way.
Okay.
I don't need to see it more unless I'm the one sleeping with it, touching it.
Drinking out of it.
Hoisting it over my head or having my kid take a smash in it.
Hopefully not at the same time.
Draper, like Chris Draper's kid. Could you not do something about
Drapes.
That? Yeah.
Come on.
So that sort of thing,
it
right?
It would be the grind line.
Yeah, of course. So no, I don't want to see it and I don't need to see it. And I would prefer not to see it. And really, now that I've come this far, your idea is stupid.
Okay. I'm quite certain the Oilers would rather not see any more of Sergei Bobrovsky, but they're gonna.
Yeah.
They come out and largely dummy the Panthers. Final shots are 33-18. Scoring chances after two were 4, I believe, in favor of the Oilers. And yet, sometimes, man... It doesn't matter. You just get goalied. It's almost a little karmic retribution for game six when the Oilers only put 10 shots on goal and won.
Yeah.
McDavid pointed that out afterwards. I don't know how much to read into it. Like, the Oilers looked really good. They looked fine. There was a couple breakdowns in the defensive zone, largely hung again on the pairing of Nurse and CeCe that they inexplicably went back to after finding success without it in the last round. But if you're going to carry the play the way the Oilers did, I don't know how much you should really look to change going into game two, but the temptation would be there, right? It would be hard to, you know, we've come this far, we're down one, we certainly don't want to go down two in a Stanley Cup final. Nobody, you know, historically comes out of that. You know, would you, if you were part of that Oilers organization, would you be looking to fidget? Would it be hard not to, or would you run it back exactly the way you did and just said it? He can't do that to us twice in a row.
Well, it's like the one reporter said, do you think you can play much better and still not win? And McDavid was like, oh, let me think about that. I got to untangle that a bit. Which what I think he wanted to really say was, do you think if you play like that again, you're going to win?
Yeah.
And I think that's the case.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much need for worry. The two, there was, you know, the storylines that we thought were going to play out here, or we, you know, considered to be a good possibility. The things were, what was going to happen with the way the game was called?
Mm-hmm.
Were you going to give Edmonton, you know, a bunch of power play opportunities, which would make Florida change? That sort of was certainly one of the, and at the end of the day, Florida had two power plays. They went 0-for-2 and Edmonton had three, I believe, and they went 0-for-3. So, that was the one storyline. The other storyline, and I was talking to the Good Western correspondent sort of midweek last week, and I said, man, we'll see how that CC Nurse combo deals with the forecheck.
Yeah.
That could not have been more on display on that second goal when Bennett dumped it in.
Yep.
Beat CC to the puck, threw it through Nurse.
Yeah.
And you're like,
well, yeah, even on the first one, I think Nurse is just standing there and CC doesn't get to hit. Like,
They were on for both even strength goals.
Yeah.
And so that was the other storyline, right? And now he said to me, he's like, no, there's no way they're going to run that duo together. They'll go back to whatever the combos they had, certain guys, you know, whether it was Broberg. And so you had, and Kulak.
Kulak could move to the other side.
Moving them around. And I think they'll absolutely now go.
I would consider doing that. Now, the other thing I would maybe consider.
Desharnais?
Yeah.
Back into the lineup?
Yeah. Because I think against Dallas, you needed Broberg to help break that puck out and create some opportunities for you. But Florida's just such a different forecheck.
But Broberg had the sweet play.
Long pass.
Yeah, that led to that. So you're like, hey, Broberg.
I get
it. Sorry that those two guys sucked.
Yeah.
You're out.
You're like,
don't you take one of those guys?
But I'm not certain that's not what's about to happen.
No, I agree with you, what you're saying, 100%.
Because Desharnais might be able to break that forecheck a little bit better with his size. And what, now, I don't think he's... Yes. I don't think he's a particularly good player. I'm not sure it's a move I would be looking to make, but it won't shock me if they do. But otherwise, in terms of storylines that we saw coming in this, it was going to be that forecheck and that great defensive ability that Florida has versus the run-and-gun offense of Edmonton. Edmonton got that going. Like, when you dominate a team the way they did, like, I didn't see any sign of Florida and what they were supposed to be able to do to Edmonton. They, frankly, rode home on a great goaltending performance and a couple of breakdowns by Edmonton. And sometimes in a final like this, the margins will be that thin. But I don't expect, like, I don't expect Bobrovsky to be that great all the way through this.
No.
But I expect Florida to be much better in front of him moving forward. Yeah, how you want to saw that off now.
But
is
the other thing that did hold true was very early on in the game, two things happened, right? That rush that Florida turned over, Barkov goes the other way.
Mm-hmm.
He hits for Hagee.
Yep.
That is the other thing was, what is going to happen with the Barkov-McDavid matchup or just Barkov's Selke pedigree, period, right? Yep. How was he going to impose his will on this series? And we saw that, which was also the flip side of that coin is Stuart Skinner for the 11th time this year, allowing a goal on the first shot on net.
Yep.
11.
Not ideal.
Whoo, man, that is. So you have to do a lot of things right after that. And so
they did, right? The Oilers carried the game. Yep. They did bounce. They just couldn't be.
I believe if Edmonton runs.
Cartwheel stop by Bobrovsky. There's an old 80s stack, the pad saved by Bobrovsky. It was incredible, man.
But if Edmonton runs this game back in game two, they win.
I think so.
So to me, I don't care.
It would be hard, right? It would be hard not to go, I got to fix something. We have to do something.
Yeah, you don't bring Desharnais back.
Okay. You just flip the pairs up.
You flip the pairs back to how you finished the Dallas series.
Yeah.
And you run it back.
Maybe
and
go Kulak with Nurse.
And if you allow, like if that. Skinner goes, hey, I allow two goals, that in itself is not the problem.
Three.
Right? Well, it was an empty netter.
Yeah.
So you don't get that empty netter if you're not getting, you know, on the bad side of that two-shotter. Yeah. So to me, I'm feeling very comfortable with Edmonton, despite the fact that it's like 14 out of 16 in the last 20 games of people who've won game one go on to win.
Yep.
That's substantial.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't feel like that's indicative of what that game looked like. So you make a couple changes, but it just has to me, it's the one.
Yeah.
You make that one, and it's just shifting the pieces around.
So you're not ready to bring Desharnais back in. You would juggle the six you have.
100%. Yeah. 100%. It's not like you're going to bring Desharnais in, and he's going to equalize Reinhardt and Bennett and Verhaeghe and Tkachuk in all their greasiness. It's not going to happen, right? No. So do not make a knee-jerk reaction that way.
Well, and so far, Florida hasn't shown in that first game much of that post-whistle, you know, scrum stuff that would make you think Broberg's about to get shoved around in front of the net. And, like, that's not – we haven't seen that yet. So Desharnais would also be a reaction to that.
Right.
And so far, you don't need it. So
I am feeling very confident if I'm Edmonton. If you can steal one, if you win the next one, you play the same way, and you come back 1-1,
yeah.
I think there's very little reason to not be. It's the immense pressure that shifts from game to game in the in a 7-game series. We go, oh shit, we lost the first one, and you're like, yeah, you win the next two, and you're like, who cares?
But it is the biggest. Like, this is the one everyone's watching now. Like, all hockey fans have zoomed into this one series now, whereas before maybe your attention was split a little. So I think it does get dissected.
All of Canada, Buffalo, and Florida, I think those are the only places that are really watching it. Every other American hockey fan is checked out.
Well, Richard Deitch in the Athletic did an interesting write-up just talking about, is this an opportunity? Is there any chance that American consumers or viewers, whatever you want to call it, it's consumers at this point, can get enough out of this series by watching McDavid? Can you turn him into a bigger star on this stage? Because, you know, Miami, while being a huge city, isn't one of the top 10 media markets in the United States, certainly isn't one of the NHL's top 10 media markets. Like, that arena was full and it was hopping. Like, there are fans down there. But as you suggest, you know, you look around, what are these ratings going to look like when, especially on ESPN, like, you don't get credit for the Canadians who are watching,
right?
Because it's they're all watching on a different channel. And so he asked a few experts, and he's checking around and talking to people. And he said, you know, you can do it. He said, by far still the biggest viewership ever seen in an NHL Stanley Cup Game 7 on network TV, you know, in this current landscape where there is cable as well and this and that. He said, is Vancouver Boston in 2011, where almost 9 million people watched? He goes, you didn't get a boost from Canada out of that either, right? So if you can build a story, if you can, you know, reel some people in, but Florida is not Boston in terms of having at least that bedrock, right?
The original sixness.
Yeah. The entire Northeast, even, you know, New Yorkers watching because they hate Boston.
Yeah,
like, you have a lot of things that aren't going to come in here. Do you expect, the other thing to keep in mind, I guess, is this is on ABC and not on TNT like last year's was. So you do get a boost from being on network.
Yeah.
Do you expect this to be a disaster, or do you think that this could come in the middle?
I think it's going to be a disaster. I look at you had the options of having New York and Dallas.
Yep.
And instead you go,
yep,
Snake Eyes, Florida and Edmonton, you know, any Canadian city, doesn't matter.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so it just sort of, that is, and you listen to,
like, Montreal, Tampa was a disaster, and Montreal, out of any team probably across the U.S., has the most
cachet?
Yeah. Prestige, whatever you'd want to call it. Didn't work. Did not work. Didn't carry into the U.S.
Well, and it was pandemic, right? They were playing in arenas with no people, and it's...
Well, by the time we got to the final, we were selling tickets, but...
Were we selling full game tickets?
Tampa was.
Okay.
I think Montreal was better. Right. It's Florida. They opened her up in March or whatever.
Was Ron Santos in there?
DeSantos.
Yeah, sorry. Is that a UFC fighter? Do I have that right? If you listen to Game 6, the qualifier, the clincher in Edmonton for Edmonton to beat Dallas, and, you know, you can hear the people in the arena still, you know, still singing the Bon Jovi tunes like a half an hour after the game. The crowd is still fired up. They're in and around the arena.
Yeah.
So the post-game report from whether it was David Amber and Elliot Friedman or whatever it was, it's like 15 minutes after the game, and you can hear one lone guy, sounds like he's on the other side of the arena going, woo! It's just like one. And that to me is so indicative of the Florida fan base. They're in the game. They're in the arena.
Yeah.
Loving it.
Yeah.
But then you're like, psh.
Once you step out the door.
You're like, you're gone.
It dissipates.
Yeah, you're hitting the mall parking lot across the street.
Well, and to be fair, that would sort of be what it was like in Ottawa, where downtown, what were they called? The Red Mile? No, that's Calgary. What were they calling it here? Sens Mile
on Elgin Street.
Yeah. But when you step out the front door in Ottawa and have those 20,000 people who have just been there, who just felt it, who had it, that party's over. You're getting in your car or driving home or getting on a bus because you're out in the middle of nowhere. This Florida arena is a little bit like that, but without the downtown.
Hey, look, there's a Home Depot.
Right. Without the downtown fans having the, we've probably brought it up before on the show. My favorite video always from that Sens Mile is everybody's all over the streets partying. And then the light turns green, they all clear off to the side, stand on the sidewalks, let the traffic go, and then they all get back. It's still Canada. We're gonna obey the laws here. We're gonna be polite.
It is, but if you've ever been out to, have you ever been to the CTC on a playoff game day?
No, not for a playoff game.
See, to me, when you're out there, and especially when it gets to be the playoffs and you have afternoon games,
yeah,
there's all kinds of outdoor patios and tents and beer gardens. It's a great place to be pre and post game.
Even post game,
yeah.
Okay,
but if it's day,
yeah,
right. The night game is completely different, right? It sort of lends itself to that. I'm getting into my car and making.
Yeah, the party breaks up when you leave.
Yeah,
but the front door.
Post games, patios, tents in the day. It's beautiful, nice weather.
Okay,
I've been to a couple, and it's always a good time. Always a good time. It's the one time I like to have afternoon games in the playoffs.
Right. Well, Florida being. The only reason I made the comparison is the location of the rink.
But
for the good listeners' sake, it's sort of out of town a little bit. And once you leave the arena, which has a great vibe in it during the playoffs, the party breaks up and goes.
Party's over, said the girl.
You don't have to go home.
But you can't stay here.
But you can't stay here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's true. It is true. And that's why if and when they get a downtown arena here, it's going to be so much better.
100%.
You wander out and people are still around unless they're rioting, because that's the problem with the if you're out in a if you're out in the West End and, you know, maybe the Home Depot's at jeopardy, but beyond that, I'm not sure. In the Farmer's Field, I'm up in arms. No, it doesn't happen, really. It's just
ripping out cobs of corn.
Yeah, exactly. It's cow corn. I can't even eat this shit.
Take a break?
Yeah, sure, man.
All right, let's do that. We'll be back in a sec.
Five alarm chili, eh?
Mm-hmm.
One, two. Hey, what the big idea?
Oh, I admit it. It's only two alarm. Two and a half tops. I just wanted to be a big man in front of the kids.
Daddy, are you going to jail?
We'll see, son. We'll see.
A bland, timid entry, suitable perhaps for patients recovering from surgery.
That's Simpson. He thinks he's the Pope of Chili Town. Well, this year I am ready for him.
Hello, Chief.
Afternoon, Homer. Care for some chili? I've added an extra ingredient just for you. The merciless peppers of Quetzalcoatlanango. Grown deep in the jungle primeval by the inmates of a Guatemalan insane asylum.
Wiggy, my chili's getting cold.
Beer! Beer, give us a beer!
Hold up! You promised you wouldn't drink.
But I need it!
Let's get back into it. Lots still to cover on the sports front, but we have powered through a lot of the dark saison. Sounds like I'll lead off. Yeah, that's about what I got on that. Not ideal.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Dominion City, first and foremost, don't take this the wrong way, because you are my go-to brewery in the East End. Like, they do good stuff.
When people are coming to town and ask me one of the breweries I should see if I'm staying in that area, Dominion's always on the list. This was not for me.
This was not my favorite bit of business from Dominion City.
And even as someone, like I said, I knew it was a bit of a risk to bring this one in for you on your, you know, ahead of your birthday, knowing that you're not a saison. There's nothing really about this that says even dark saison. Like, the thing that I was willing to risk it on, I'm not getting that out of this. It's not tasting dark. It's not
more
tasting saison. As you talked about in the second act, it tastes a little like wine a little bit.
It does have a white wine finish to it.
A little tart to it. So, just not for me.
It's not for me.
I will be back to the brewery. It's just not for me, this one.
Oh, I'll be back to the brewery. For
perhaps
sure.
Soon.
Yes, exactly. Okay, we've moved from that to likely my favorite West End brewery. I've brought a little something in for
West
the two of us.
West End girls.
Also in a bottle.
Yep.
So this fucking railroad spike, it's like the clip, the thing that you're supposed to hook under the lip of the bottle.
Yeah.
It's like it's on the top, not the bottom. Like, it needs to be, it just doesn't hook in nicely.
Is it possible that you're just
a gimp?
I was going to say useless, but we can go with your
first try. Good job, little guy.
Look what you've done.
Way to go, sport.
Yeah.
Woo.
So this is, the opposite end of town.
Everybody.
Brew Revolution.
Everybody is inspired by a little ridicule. And I'll show you.
Can't let it happen again.
Well, and you know what the best part about drinking out of a bottle is?
I get to stab you with it later.
If I'm irritated by you, I could smash it and cut you with it. So,
or just brain you with it, right?
Yeah, no, I'm going to use that empty saison bottle because it's a little bigger.
It's got some heft to it.
And
sure.
Well, yours may still have a little left in the bottom, so a little extra heft.
No, I've just finished polishing it off.
Right upside down.
Because even if I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah, well, okay. Hello.
Let's
as
get
you,
there.
As you were talking, I was just like washing it back. I have no idea what to expect with this, Matt. This is from Brew Revolution.
Yeah.
This is something called the Spicy Viking.
Oh. Okay.
Now, normally there's a there's a music bend to it. I have no idea what the Spicy Viking is.
No.
But this
but
is
I am interested in finding out.
This is a hot pepper pale ale.
Okay.
So on top of our saison, we're now doubling down on
hot pepper
pale ale. So they've in the recent past done a habanero.
Yes.
Pale ale.
I've had that.
Not from Brew Revolution.
No,
you're right. It was something else.
There was another habanero beer we had on
that
the
show. That was from Waterloo or Wellington. One of those two from down there somewhere.
I'll take your word for it. I can't remember that at
it
all.
It was a Welly, I believe.
Okay.
Or maybe it was a Waterloo.
All right.
It's got the boot or it's got a pig's head on it. Whatever.
Okay.
Whatever.
So, yeah, exactly. Leave Lynch in the house. So yeah, I'm going to have a pull on this. It comes in at 4.5. So we've kept them both fairly light.
You can smell a little,
You're getting a little hot pepper.
Baking.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Like that may be,
what percentage do you say this was?
4.5.
You'd almost rather they ramp that up a little bit.
Give me a little bit of that alcohol to cover up. So have you had a pull on it yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, so we're both sort of, I'm waiting for you to have a go at that and we'll see what shakes loose.
Yeah. Wow.
How's that?
That is a spicy Viking.
Oh, yeah? Are you getting the spice from it?
Way up front, and then all the way through, and onto the tail end, including probably Monday morning.
All right. Monday morning, Sunday night. Yeah. Is that how that goes?
On the express lane, yeah.
Well, and really, I'm going to have a pull on this, and we'll see. Maybe we have to take a break and grab another beer on the way, because this is at 4.5.
Holy cow.
You are getting the hot pepper from this.
Yes.
Okay.
Get into it, man. Yeah, take a shot at that. Because as I have talked about on the show before, I am not into anything spicy, but I've never had anything in a beer that comes across as spicy as this. Yeah?
Wow.
Yeah, it's there. But like in your food, you're far more open to hot, spicy stuff than I am.
100% I am.
So are you, is this hitting you the way it's hitting me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because to me, it's nice and cold. It's nice and cold and it's in a bottle.
Yeah.
Right? And so while I was waiting for you to come back in, I'm holding them both, but I'm holding them like a Nimrod. I'm holding them by the thickest part of the bottle. And all I can hear is my grandmother saying, you don't hold a beer bottle that way. You got to hold it way up high on the neck so it doesn't warm the beer.
Good job, like, Grandma.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what, Grandma?
I've let you down.
That's great advice. And I should take it. So it's nice and cold. So the first pull, I had a couple of good pulls on it.
Yeah.
And it's nice and cool out of the glass. It's nice. But then, yeah, it finishes. Now, it's not, to me, it's not super hot.
No, it's not like burning the gizzards out of you.
But I can feel it all across my tongue, mm-hmm. from the front to the back of the tongue, right? I get all that. And so I think you're right. I'm not sure.
I don't think I've ever had anything that advertised itself as spicy that was this spicy.
Oh, that's shitty. That shitty habanero pineapple one I brought you that I had on vacation one summer. And I'm like, I'm not drinking that other one. That's trash.
Give it to Matt.
I'm going to give it to Matt, who thinks ketchup is spicy. So we're going to go with that and see how this shakes loose.
Yeah.
But you drank the whole thing.
Yeah. And I'm going to drink this whole thing. Yeah, but no,
I am also. But I got a little sweat under my eyebrow.
Yeah,
under
no,
my
it's
eyelids. Absolutely.
There's something there, man.
There is. But it's gone now. I'm ready for another pull.
Not here.
I'm on fire for you, baby.
I'm two or three pulls deep into this, and it is...
It's still a little...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Picante. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But yeah, I am... Under my eyelids, there's a little sweat. There's a little sweat, but...
Need a glass of milk beside.
A little chocolate bar. A little bit, if we could have little sections of Mars bar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that goes with any beer, really.
Really wasn't... Yeah, it's true.
It's got nothing to do with whatever. I just like a little bit of Mars
just
bar
like
right
a Mars
now.
Bar.
It's all right.
Phew. All right.
We're doing this.
Yeah, it's true, man.
Yeah.
Brew Rev.
And yeah, I like them.
I've said 100 times, man, if you're putting it on the label, bring it.
It better be in the bottle.
And they brought it. So power to them. I will not have a second one of these.
Well.
But if you're somebody who likes that, like a nice spicy, this will take care of you.
And
that to any, like, I've never had anything this spicy in a pint, or in a pint, right? Like in a beer. So,
yes,
good on them.
And again, a couple good pulls on that.
Yeah. You're just getting used to it.
Yeah. And at the back of my throat, that one there just sort of hits me at the back of my throat.
All right.
And as you suggested,
I don't shy away from that, right? Like, my taste buds do not go in for for hot stuff. So,
yeah.
Hot stuff.
I enjoy you, little Donna Summers. I do enjoy hotter stuff than you.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I enjoy it in my beer per se.
Like, I've seen lots of people have, like, in a Caesar, they want a little spice to it or something like that.
My good man, you're looking at one right here.
Right. So I get that.
I don't want a Caesar that isn't spicy.
Right. Where it's coming off a little, man, even my top lip is still just.
Oh, yeah. See, I only get it now a little bit at the back, around the back of my mouth. And it's always the second
pull. I think the last pull was a little too vigorous.
Oh.
Got a little up on the top.
Like, I'm going to get down.
Get through this.
and to me, you better drink it while it's cold.
I think there's some validity to that for sure.
Because once this warms up
and
you're going to get the full flavors,
yep.
I think we're both going to find this to be way less enjoyable. But when I was in the brewery, they were saying this has been brought back because she's like, I'm like, what do you have that's new? anything seasonal, anything you're proud of, put it on the board.
Right.
And she's like, the spicy Viking. And I'm like, yes. I don't even know what that is.
I'm intrigued.
But I'll take two of those.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, this is brought back by popular demand.
Okay.
So.
Crazy bastards.
Somebody's asking for it.
Yeah.
It just clearly won't be Rob and Matt. So I am going to drink this while it's cold.
Yeah. But similar deal to what we just said about Dominion. This is not by any means to say it's a bad beer or a bad brewery. It is right up front. Here's what you're getting. And that's what we like to do here. We like to try some things and we'll move around. And this will not prevent me in any way from trying the next thing from Brew Rev.
And you know what? The thing is, and anybody who is, whether you're a sommelier, you know, wine taster, or people who drink beer, the idea is the first pull, especially if you're switching gears.
The first pull is the...
First pull should be the deepest.
Yeah.
100%, man. Get it in you. It's a bit of a changing of gears, right? And so you go, I need to have the second pull. And so each one I have, I feel slightly different about it.
Yep.
Still not my bag. Still won't be going back for another one. Yep. But
no, you're right. It's
moving further back in terms of where
it's being tamed on each.
And where I feel the burn.
Perhaps because of my taste buds already being burned off.
Yeah. Well, and it's not that hot.
No.
But it is hotter than, it's like somebody squished a packet of the Taco Bell hot sauce. Like that's about it. But you're eating that, or maybe the extreme Taco Bell. It's kind of like that.
Right.
That's not enough to blow your face off.
Right.
But it is enough to make you go,
oh man, when I go home and visit my parents, incredibly careful in their fridge. My old man's got some stuff that, like, he wants the hottest.
You should try that. I'm telling you, man.
No.
The ghost pepper Szechuan sauce, I spoke about last week.
No.
No, you don't need to try it.
I need to find it for him.
You should get it for your dad.
Yeah.
I may look into that for you.
Okay.
And send it his way.
Yeah. If you could just bypass me altogether, I'll give you.
Yeah. No, I'll just shoot you the bottle, and I think he'd love it.
I don't really want it in my home. Mixed it up with
exactly. Accidentally smashed it in the bathroom somewhere. I got it.
That is where it will end up.
It should never go.
Yeah.
I'm sweaty under the eyes.
Yeah. Honestly, man, it's hot in here all of a sudden. So good for them, Brew Rev. Right?
Well, they've done it.
Yep. They brought it strong. So let's talk a little bit about a couple of the things that came out of the commissioner's State of the Union address.
The TPC!
Yes. Before game one of the Stanley Cup Final, he always addresses the media.
I think you're going to want to hear this.
Right. I think you're wrong, Gary.
Yeah, probably not.
Why is my nose running? Yes. The biggest thing I took away from it was a couple more details on the Four Nations Cup. And we found out that they're going to play some games early on in this tournament, next February, in Montreal. And then they will play the second half of the tournament in Boston. Any surprise there? Like, it was going to be tough over just like a week-long thing with only four teams to spread it out too much. But we've done this pretty recently, in fact, quite a bit, with World Cups and things like that in Toronto. So it was probably time to move on from there. If you were going to pick an American market to split this with, is there anywhere else that you would have gone? Look, you and I both know Boston, an incredibly passionate hockey market. Is there anywhere you would have gone ahead of them?
Minnesota, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
To me, it's Massachusetts and Minnesota.
Yeah.
Those are the two traditional. They're the OG hockey states.
Any thought at all
that
Vegas would have maybe made... I don't know how many people might opt out of this.
You don't deserve it, Vegas.
But who might have opted out versus opted in because it's in Vegas? And is that really the type of player you want on your teams? Vegas would be interesting, right, as a backdrop.
Yeah. No. I don't want to see it in Vegas.
Okay.
And I don't want to see it in Vegas because...
And the other part is the travel, right? If you're asking these four teams to play an extra however many games, keep it close together, right? So do it in Winnipeg and Minnesota or Montreal, Boston, or Seattle, Vancouver, or something like that. And,
oh, Christ. Vancouver, I could see it in, but Seattle, again, I'm throwing you in the same category with the... Now, Seattle is a hockey market, right?
Yeah.
The Thunderbirds have been out there for forever. Tri-City Americans in that sort of... Not in the immediate vicinity, but the north...
The Pacific Northwest, yeah.
Is a hockey country. But Vegas, I don't know. They don't deserve it.
Okay.
And I would much rather see it be in a big traditional Metro Center where hockey fans, traditional hockey fans, deserve it, right?
Yeah.
That to me is a big thing.
So they're going to kick off the tournament with USA Canada in Montreal. There are going to be at least one more game in Montreal. And then they will shift the whole thing to Boston. And no semifinal, no bronze medal game. Going to be the straight round robin, and then the top two teams play each other. They say that's largely because of, you know, the restricted time frame that they have to do this in, and, you know, the demands that they're asking of the athletes. Any beef with that at all?
First blush, no. If Canada's playing Sweden in the bronze medal or in the 3-4 match,
yeah,
it holds way less appeal to me. And I know that's probably not the right way to look at it.
Well, there are a lot of people already saying that, and a lot of them from countries not included, that this is a joke, right? It's a gimmick.
Number one bullshit!
So I think I'm fine with it. And there are still people, even in those four countries, saying it's not enough. You should... Pasternak, after winning world championships, saying, hey, any thoughts here? But the Gary and...
Any thoughts that your best team
is beating any of those top four?
Yeah, forget it.
That could happen. Hockey's a crazy in a one-off. But Gary's explanation with Bill Daly at the press conference was brutally honest. This is not an IIHF event. We need four teams that are entirely NHL player-based.
Right.
And there's your four. The Czechs don't have enough, you know, to hang in that area. The Russians right now certainly... don't when they go to the Olympics or the World Cup back when they were permitted to do so. They had plenty of KHL content, and that's going to be interesting when we talk about the team selection. Hockey Canada still has banned every member of the 2018 World Junior team.
That is over before this happens. There's no way
Hockey Canada's not involved. Now, a year later at the Olympics... You're right. Cale Makar is a part of that team, has never had his name implicated in any way.
Sully or tainted.
Right. So they will push hard to make sure that is lifted by the time the Olympics happen. But for this Four Nations Cup next February, these are entirely NHL drafted teams or put together teams. And so they don't really care what Hockey Canada thinks. And I want to put this to you. They're going to, similar to what they've done before the Olympics, they like to name 6 or 8 players from each team that they can kind of build around the marketing, right? So on June 28th, all of Canada, Sweden, Finland, and USA will announce their first 6 players.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not going to put you on the spot now.
No, sir. No, it was actually the beer.
Fair enough. So... you're not here next week.
I'm not naming a goalie, if that's what you're asking me.
I'm not asking you anything right now.
Okay.
But when you come back in here in 2 weeks,
yeah.
Do you and I want to do the top 6 from each of the four teams? Should we each take 2 teams? I'd like us to try and predict what's going to happen 5 days later when they announce.
I'd like us both to compare and contrast.
All four teams. Okay. So it's going to be 6 players from Finland, USA, Canada, and Sweden. By the time Rob and I reconvene, we will each have 6 players that we believe, not should, like we're going to try and predict what each of these countries will have done. So that show will drop for you either on the 24th or 25th, and then the teams will announce them on the 28th. So we'll do that.
They'll be listening, obviously. They'll be looking to take our advice.
I would, yeah.
Why would you not?
Right. So as you look at this thing, Montreal, Boston looks good.
Yeah.
Location-wise, the tournament setup, you're okay with gold medal game.
Yep.
It does. I sort of have time for the people who are like, this feels thrown together and it's only, well, they're trying hard. Like we've been calling for years. We want more best on best hockey. And here we're going to give you some of it. And everybody's like, but it's not the way I want it. And you're like, well, take it or leave it a little bit, right?
Take it or leave it. Get on board with it.
we'll all be watching. 100%. It's going to be great hockey.
It will be great hockey. Now, I'll be interested to see if in an NHL, if they treat this like you would treat the Olympics. And I don't think they will.
No.
Right? To me, how much are you putting it on a teammate in this situation, right?
What do you mean?
Kachuk, Verhaeghe. Let's just say Verhaeghe makes the Canadian team and Matt Kachuk.
Right.
Like, let's just say, are we going to see Verhaeghe smoke Kachuk if he gets the opportunity? Or vice versa.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Whereas I have no doubt in an Olympics.
Right, I see what you're saying.
That's happening, right?
Is this going to be treated because it's in February like they would treat an all-star game?
Or will it be somewhere in between an all-star game and an Olympics, right? Will it sort
I wonder
of,
when you just look down at your chest, does that do anything for you? Here's our shitty Atlantic division. Not even. We don't even have divisions that we play for anymore. It's drafted. And that's fine for an all-star game. But I look down at my Canada jersey, you look down at your USA jersey, and is that enough to make you run through a wall, right? Like,
yeah, well, and that's what I want to see.
Yeah.
I want to see. Because it's not a Hockey Canada thing and a Hockey USA thing.
Right, it's an NHL thing.
It's an NHL thing, and I just wonder.
Yeah.
You know, wonder who wrote the Book of Love.
I'm trying to interrupt you, but I'm just flaming from the ears over here.
Well, you're flaming. Everyone's said it for years.
Yeah.
Bring your asbestos suit. We're going to see Matt Robinson.
Flamer.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
I wonder that. Anyways, yeah. That to me is...
I think that's fair.
And I'll have to see. And maybe we get a combination of that. Maybe it's the sort of first couple games aren't as much, but the gold medal game or the final game, whatever they're going to call it, is going to be swinging from the tips. Tips.
Yeah. Does this have your attention? Like, fully. Sweden, Finland on a Thursday night at 7 o'clock. You watching?
Yep.
Yeah, I think I am too. It's best on best.
I am. And those are, especially the Finns.
But, like, we're obviously going to watch Canada. The reason I hit you with those two.
The Finns, to me, are the team where you go, fuck those guys.
Yeah.
They're always there.
You don't belong here, but here you are again on the podium.
Why are you winning?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they are pesky, and they do the thing that they need to do. Now, they are another nation that, because they seem to be able to cookie cutter a bunch of players and go, that guy looks like that guy and that guy, and they play the same way. And you sort of go, do they have enough high-end NHL talent? I think they are the clear fourth of those four teams, in my opinion.
Yeah.
On talent.
I'm just trying to think off the top of my head.
Doesn't necessarily mean that will correlate into.
No. And you're going to play a quick round robin. One.
You need a Finn to win. How about 22 of them? How about that?
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to sort of Heiskanen, Barkov, Rantanen, Saros. I don't know. Are they really?
Those guys are pretty good.
Yeah, are they really?
But where are you?
Not in the conversation with the Swedes?
No.
Well, what do you got for them as their top end?
Willie Nylander.
Zibanejad.
Pettersson.
Yep. Hedman, the top blue liner?
For sure.
Well, he's fallen off a little.
Well, and you got Hedman.
Is he Heiskanen?
You got Carlson.
Is he Makar?
No, to me, you're looking at, it's the Swedes and the Finns you're comparing, right?
Fair enough. But I just
think that there's so much more Swedish depth than there is. You've named some very good top end Finnish talent, but what do you got past that?
Yep.
And that's where it comes down to, whereas every team has...
Leo Komarov still kicking around.
Well, and what's his name? Lucas Raymond. Like Lucas Raymond.
Yep.
To me, there's all kinds of Swedish talent everywhere. I just think the top-end Finnish talent, you can fill out a great Finnish PK.
Yeah.
I got you here. I got you there.
Right.
You know, what happens in Sweden with the goaltending, right? Is it Markstrom still? Like, who are we looking at there?
I guess it probably is.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, right? Like,
as you start to
run around the league quickly, trying hard to come up with the...
Yeah.
But it probably is.
Gustafsson was at Worlds. He was the guy.
Yep.
He was the guy there, and he's been great.
And in a different situation.
Good in Minnesota.
Like, where he's not splitting with 40-year-old Marc-Andre Fleury, like, he could possibly reestablish. And Markstrom's like an up-and-down kind of guy.
How about Omark? Got any time for that?
I sure do.
Yeah.
so.
That guy seems pretty good.
Yep.
So, you know, I just think the
and we've talked about this before. From my perspective, Canada's going to have the best center in Connor McDavid. They're going to have the best defenseman in Cale Makar. The U.S., if you've got those as your 1-2 teams, can almost match each of those guys, but depth-wise is probably going to be better. I think the USA team's going to be deeper than Canada.
See, to me, though, I think there's a possibility that MacKinnon is better than any American center.
Maybe.
I know you probably have time for Austin Matthews.
I'd have time for Austin Matthews in that debate.
But it's a debate, though.
It is.
And you are looking at the possibility that the best two centers play in Canada.
Yep. Cale Makar versus Quinn Hughes.
No doubt
for
me.
But then down and down and down. Yeah, I'm with you. So we'll see. And this is why I'm interested. Even if it is maybe the pedal's not fully down because it's an NHL event and not a full...
Pedal down!
Yeah, Hockey Canada versus whatever at the Olympics. I still think when this rolls in, I'm super intrigued by all of it.
Yep. No, it'll be good. It'll be good. And the fact that, like, happens here, you know, you're talking about the difference will be in the bottom six and that 5-6 defenseman. That to me is
Who did you just mention? Carter Verhaeghe?
Carter Verhaeghe is on that team.
He'll be in the mix.
Yeah.
You've got him on the team.
Well, not in the top, not in the six that we're going to name in a couple
of
weeks.
No.
But I certainly see him filling a role, man. That guy's got clutch and 30 goal ability. Like, to me, he's clutchiness goes a long way.
Okay.
I like it. My earphones are slightly moist.
Yeah.
And it's a lot like, think about anybody out there who, and this will not be you, Matt.
No.
When you
was popular in high school.
No, I'm not even going to take a bite. I'm not even going to bite on it. I'm going to keep moving. It's like when they ask for a generic, you know, red hot chili pepper, and you sort of get it and you take a bite of it to see where the heat level is. To me, that's what this is like.
Okay.
It's kind of like on your Scoville.
Right.
It's about 1500. Like it is a jalapeno or slightly hotter maybe, but that's kind of what it's like.
And I like, to be clear, it's not burning the gizzards out of me, but it has stayed warm on my palate.
It certainly has. Yeah. And I am right there with you.
Okay. Little Jays, as you and I sit here right now, they are in Oakland. Very, very, very early on in game three out there. They've taken one of two so far. So we won't know how game three of that series has played out, but it has been an eventful week. We've seen Kevin Biggio DFA'd, so he will be departing the team, whether it be on waivers or via trade here within the next day or so. And Alek Manoah is going to go under the knife here in a week or so. They don't know until they get in there how bad it is, but it is a ulnar collateral ligament, the UCL.
Yeah.
When they get in there, it may have to become a full Tommy John, or I guess there's a new procedure where they can kind of brace it and don't need to go the full Tommy John. Either way, he's done for the year. Trevor Story and Lucas Giolito have both had the brace approach done. It's a slightly shorter recovery time. But it's interesting. Let's start with Manoah, because to me, it's interesting that we've gotten there. I don't know if there's anything to be drawn from this, but like, this guy's been battling something for a long time. They sent him down and he wanted the shot of this and they weren't sure about it. Like, there's been some argument over recovery, and then he comes back and he sort of gets hurt again in spring, but he kind of builds himself back up, and he has a couple of good starts, two or three. I don't know.
Two and a half,
okay.
Anyways.
Yeah. And then he gets hurt, and they're going in, and they're going to cut him open. We'll see what that's going to look like. Are you willing to go as far back as everything that went wrong last year, or is this he just got hurt, and this is just a new wrinkle in the Alek Manoah story? You and I both with our deep physiological
I don't even play a doctor
base
on the podcast.
Right.
I feel like it's separate.
Okay.
Because I saw some things in the three starts that were good here in the last month.
Yep.
That made me feel, you know what, something's different. This looks better. It doesn't, it, like, I never saw something in the 2023 season that looked anything like
2022
or what we saw in parts this year.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I feel without any medical knowledge.
Right. No, we're both
speculating. That this is something new and this is something.
But it is unusual that someone would fall off from the heights of 2022, be so brutal in 23, then sort of struggle through spring training, come up, sort of have it, then, you know, a couple of good starts and then get hurt again. I wonder, again, knowing nothing, if it isn't just like the best thing for him right now. Go get whatever this is done. Whatever, if it's something that was lingering from last year or not, just get this taken care of. Take some time to mentally reset. I don't think this is what's good for the team because he had started to show that he was at least capable of being a bottom end of the rotation guy again.
Oh, but he had the 2.5 or three. There was half of two different starts where he was dominant.
Yeah.
And those two starts where he was, if he got any kind of offense.
Right.
And Vladdy didn't give up a three-run error.
Right? Yeah, that's a little rough.
That is the thing where you go, you lose 3-0 and you go, all three of those are unearned.
Yep.
And
but so he's going to be out for the remainder of this year. And then depending on whether it's Tommy John or this brace thing, you may see him at the start of next
Tommy John, you're looking at, what, 12 to 18 months? Yeah. Like, it's a...
Yeah, you may not. If they have to go the full Tommy John when they're in there, you're probably not going to see him until at least next August.
So I don't know also what's out there. If they had found something that was able to mask or dull the pain and he was able to, that they weren't last year...
Mm-hmm.
And if he was able to find something that was able allowing him to, and that it just isn't working anymore, and
right.
it's pushed through all that.
Sure, you build up a tolerance
in terms of pain management and damage to the elbow. Maybe that's a possibility too. I have no idea, but at this point, to me, this season, as you continue to scuffle, right, it's time to, you go take care of whatever you need to take care of, right.
Well, as you and I sit here, man, they're two out of the third wild card. And so I...
A couple games under 500, are they three under 500? Like, it's
well, depending on what happens here Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
As you and I sit here before the result of Sunday's Toronto-Oakland game, they are two under 500.
And it's two zip in the second, Toronto.
So we'll see. Now, there's some teams between you, and some teams you would expect to be a little better. The Texas Rangers, the Tampa Rays, but also teams with their own...
Not expect the Tampa Rays to be ahead.
Fair enough.
Texas Rangers, yes.
Yeah. Houston still kicking around. Now, they're over the weekend looked like they were talking to Trevor Bauer. That's very much in the Roberto Osuna playbook that they ran a few years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know, because for
great
them,
state of Texas.
They're looking desperate, and you'll do some crazy shit when you're desperate. The 2-10, 10-2 kind of thing. I look at what's happening with the Jays right now. There was a report that the Cubs were interested in Vladdy Guerrero Jr. And I just, as I said on the Friday show.
What are you interested in giving?
Right. Not much.
Then get bent.
Cubby.
Southsider.
But you kind of. Northsider.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that doesn't sound right.
you too, though, Southsider.
Yeah, but Chicago as a whole.
I said on the Friday show, I'm not prepared to buy. Like,
I am not prepared to
buy. If you're sitting there going, yeah, but we're only two out of the third wild card. Like, but you're two out of the third wild card. Like, this, and below 500. But you don't sell in that situation, right? Like, last year in the second half, the Arizona Diamondbacks went 7 games under 500 and then went to the World Series.
Yeah.
When you have this, I know, but when you have this many playoff spots and you're allowing this level of mediocrity into your playoffs, I'm not going to sell at this point. We'll see where we are at the end of July. So you can, shove your Vladdy trade requests.
Shove your Vladdy. That sounds inappropriate.
Yeah, it really does. I see Rob attending school day at the ballpark, the only one shouting that at.
I used to love school day games, man, back in the day, going down to Exhibition Stadium.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Rob's pretty old.
Yeah, honestly, as soon as I said that, I'm like, don't axe. Say that. Don't say that, man.
That's... Let's go to the X.
Yeah, listen. Out on the metal bleachers. Don't say that, man. No. Down the first baseline.
If you went there now, it'd be a hemorrhoid problem going to the April games. And then, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's a long way up, man. I don't know if my knees are taking it.
But you're in the race, but you kind of still suck, right? So I'm not selling.
Yeah, we do.
I'm going to hang around. I'm going to see if this can turn itself up a little. And over the last month or so, Vladdy's got like the fourth best hitting stats in the American League, and Bichette's got going a little bit. I'm not going to sell, but I'm not buying. I'm not.
Do you think, you know, watching the, so they again,
I think my face is on fire.
The same problems that have plagued them all season were in full display on Friday against the A's, right? You lose 2-1 to the,
that game sucked.
Fuck, man. I was busy again doing a bunch of things, but I'm keeping track of the score, right? And I'm like,
thank you, Chad Green, for your one pitch tonight.
And you're like 1-1 in the ninth, and then you're like, of course we lost.
Yeah.
And you're like,
so you can't get a hit off Hogan Harris, I believe his name was.
Hogan?
A complete made up, you know, when I used to talk about Phoenix Copley.
Yeah. Well, remember the first time I brought Phoenix Copley up on the show, and you're like, that is not a real
That's
name.
That's not a player.
That's not true.
When you've reached season 7 in the NHL 2023 video game and they're making up names in the draft, it's Copley, Phoenix Copley. That's where I look at Hogan Harris, and you can't beat that guy. You get to 1-1 in the top of the ninth. You go to the bottom of the ninth. You bring in Chad Green. He throws one pitch, and it gets whacked out of Oakland Alameda County Stadium, whatever.
At nighttime, which is no mean feat.
No. Just smashed. And I was already sitting there, and I think I tweeted this on Friday night, irritated that I was going to be staying up for extra innings from a West Coast game to watch these two teams. And I was like, oh, this is way more irritating.
Can I recall that? God damn it.
Yeah. No, that was an awful game. They come out on Saturday, play a much better game. Kevin Gausman goes 9 shutout innings. Pretty good, man.
Man. And how often do you see that?
That's the first time for him.
Yeah, forget about the shutout, period.
Yeah.
9 innings.
No.
You never. Just don't see that. And with the way the bullpen's going,
yeah,
we need to see more.
Any thoughts, good or bad, about them being done with Kevin Biggio?
Just before we get to that, do you think there's any possibility, despite how flaccid and flabby the offense has been?
Feeling attacked.
Any chance? Yeah, there was somebody at the party yesterday. I kept poking him in the belly. And I'm like, we're talking. And I'm just like, hey, you know what I'm talking about? And poking. Just like, and I'm like, man, your belly is way closer to me than your chin is. I'm like, what? Like, I'm looking you in the face, but somehow your belly is so close.
I have a normal belly. Not the same guy.
Different guy. Yeah, no, honestly, now that I've said that out loud, Rob's a bit of a jackass.
Yeah.
Social situations.
Stop poking people.
Well, somebody else said, that was a savage attack. And I'm like, and on a different situation altogether. And I'm like, that was not savage. You haven't seen Savage.
I'll show you. I'll see you in the Canadian Tire parking lot after the party.
Yeah, out on George Street.
Yeah.
Do you think that this, do you think there's even a 30% chance that this offense can get away from its morbid sort of start?
Yeah, I think there's a 30% chance, yeah. Because I think you've seen Spencer Horowitz called up. I think you're going to see Addison Barger called up. Potentially, that means the end of Vogelbach or Justin Turner.
Do you think Schneider's eaten Biggio's lunch? Is that what this is? The left fielder, second base thing, the sort of...
No, I think in that case, it's Spencer Horowitz. And when we talked last week about Vladdy playing third for the first time, and you had been on the drive over when they announced that that was coming, I started to look at what's the play there, because it's not for Vogelbach long-term.
It's for Horowitz to play first.
It was going
to
be for Horowitz to get in there a little bit, and he's going to play some first, he's going to play some second, and maybe a little bit of outfield. And he's been the fourth best hitter in his league for the last, for the first bit of, so he's not got enough power to be a traditional first baseman, but it was worth giving him a look. You're going to bring up Addison Barger at some point. that's why you're seeing some crazy stuff start to happen, you know, in the outfield in terms of Varsho moving over to right field. Like, they're preparing for some things here.
Hey, let's take a look at where are your traditional power spots?
Yeah.
First, third, corner outfields?
Right.
And look at the Jays and you go, nope.
But that's a little bit why you are seeing Vladdy at third, Vogelbach at first.
Boo. Boo big time on that.
Davis at left. They're trying to get there.
Yeah.
They just don't have it.
Yeah.
So when you moved him to third, I really thought it was far more about eventually bringing Horowitz up than it was about Daniel Vogelbach. And when it's time to bring up Addison Barger, I think you will see Vogelbach probably DFA'd next. You know, when you look at Biggio, part of his value was that left-handed bat that could kind of play around in a few different positions.
That could strike out in a key situation?
Yeah, well, all of that stuff that they talk about on the broadcast about, you know, his ability to take a walk, that's dropped quite a bit. Like, yeah. His strikeout numbers have come up quite a bit, and his power that he used to bring now and then, that's gone down as well. So he's going to catch on somewhere and get another chance, and that's going to be fine.
On name brand alone.
Probably. And so he'll get his chance, but yeah, when they started toying around with Guerrero back at third, to me it was never about Vogelbach. It's about the other things that you're going to start to do, and we're seeing that now. And, you know, does Barger have enough power to make a difference? Maybe, right? He's got a hell of an arm, which Biggio didn't, right? So you're sort of clearing out some things to allow you a little bit more flexibility. Is Spencer Horowitz a traditional first baseman? No, he doesn't have enough power. Is that why they're going to try him at second?
I don't care about traditional. I care about,
but power's got to come from somewhere.
Well, I'll take a double over nothing.
Yeah.
I think about this team and the promise it started with and the hope that you have as a fan. And you go, but then soon you go, okay, but this is pretty shitty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that great. And you go,
2021 was a long time ago.
Are these my Varsho years? Where you look at it and you go, I'm hanging all my hopes on that guy? Is that where we are? Or the Justin Turner years? Like, what are these going to be? Who's the guy? Who is the poster boy for these years that make you go, yeah, that's I had a lot of hope, but then you look back and go,
It is still Vlad and Bo. And over the last month, they're both rounding back into form, but the team's still mediocre. And so you have to kind of start to be realistic.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the coming through the minors, right? You had Guerrero, Bichette, and Biggio, right? That was the triplets, the three sons of former.
And Gurriel, but we never really counted him the same way.
Right. It was those three guys coming up.
And I think, did we not briefly had Clemens' kid move him on to somewhere else?
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Kobe,
yep. Cody, I think.
Something. It started with a K. All his kids did. I present you with the Carlos Delgado, Sean Jesus Green, Christ. Alex Gonzalez trio.
Warm beer. Delgado, Rios.
No, I said Green.
Green.
Delgado, Green, and Gonzalez.
Yeah, okay.
And you go, which of those two sets of triplets would you rather have?
Well, at what point?
Right now.
I'll take 52-year-old Carlos Delgado.
No, I mean, if you're comparing the two of them. I just think of the guys who you look at and go, that's the core. And like that.
I think it's hard to look past the name brand. And it's not just that. We've seen Guerrero be huge. We've seen Bo lead the AL in hits. It's just not happening right now. And I don't know if it's ever going to. And I hate to use this comparison, but you look at Bo Bichette and you look at Mitch Marner, and it looks like the joy has been totally sapped out of them.
Yeah, but I can't speak to Mitch, but Bo looked like he never had any joy.
I don't know. Not to the same degree. Like, he was obviously one to fit in better with the red asses last year, right, of Kiermaier and Chapman and, whereas Vlad wanted the jacket and the barrio and all these sorts of things. Even that, like, it feels to me like Bo looks less engaged, less happy than maybe he's ever been as a Blue Jay. And that's going to be a problem when you want to go, how about 10 more years, man? You want to sign off?
Do you want him for 10 more years?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, silence is deadly.
Well, as recently as a month ago, I would have said, yep, sign him up.
Yeah, well, I
expected he was going to come out of this complete, and he's coming out of it.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen enough yet. And it seems like every year there's a month or two where you're like, dude, what's going on?
Well, it was actually the end of last year, the last two and a half months of last year where he sort of saved his whole season.
Yep.
And so there were long stretches of 2023 where he wasn't that great at the plate.
Yeah.
And so you look at the last two, 2022 and 2023 playoffs or play-in or wild card or whatever. Not stellar, man.
Yeah.
Not stellar. And so to me,
2 days of humiliation.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not even.
Those are our playoffs.
Yeah. So at least it's short.
Yeah.
At least it's short and quick. We don't need to deal.
Like so many other things I've been humiliated.
Exactly. Short and greasy.
Yeah. Okay. Like this beer.
Not short enough.
No, it's not short enough.
Sadly, I keep pulling on it going, it still feels like a lot of beer.
It's warming up.
And I am pulling on it good and hard both times. But yeah, I think it's pulling hard on it. That you would even debate that now. Last year it would be like, of course, Vladdy and Bo, you signed.
Well, that's it. We started this segment with you talking about the Cubbies can go piss up a rope. I don't know. We can talk.
Yeah. But you got to give me something.
Yeah,
that's all
course.
It was.
No, of course.
It wasn't like, you know, in past years where I'd be like, fuck you, Matt. That's a stupid suggestion.
Oh, man. Another opening to the show.
You can save him. Back him up. But yeah. It comes down to, it's on the table.
Yeah.
It's on the table now.
But I don't think you will see it mid-season for either one of them. I think you're right on that. But
well, you wait till the best offer comes. Yeah. And
you see where you are in July.
Right. People debate it. And they're like, oh, is it at the trade deadline? Is it at the draft? Like in hockey terms, it's like,
right.
Or is it in, you know, the summertime when everybody's got a clear idea of where the rosters are? And you're like, fuck it. The best time is the best time. I have no idea when that's going to be.
Yeah.
When
on how are they playing? Like the idea of getting Bo for two playoff runs doesn't matter if Bo sucks right now. You don't want him for your
right.
playoff
run. And so to me, it's you'd hate to have this come to an end where you're like, now you're trading them because you're in desperation at next, like 2025
yeah.
trade deadline. And you're like, you get Donaldson. Where you're like, yeah, that's all we got for that. That's
yeah.
And now Bo is younger and better, but
less injured.
You still don't want to just be hampered by a short deadline. And so you have to make a decision, right? Between now and the end of this season, you got to know what's happening.
At the same time, you do have to be aware that you are still, at the moment, two games out of a playoff spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't sell.
Yeah. And I think,
don't buy, but don't sell.
I think when you look at that and you go, yeah, but last year's Arizona Diamondbacks, you know, or the...
Well, it's always like... If you squeak into the playoffs like the 2012 Kings.
Yeah, that's a team that was just coming to the front of my mind.
Like, well, once in a blue moon, yeah, it happens. I get it, but it does happen. And this
or it this happens Blue like last year.
But this Blue Jays team is built with the stadium, the money invested. Like, it's going to be hard to convince that
Sorry,
management
Rogers,
group. Yeah,
I don't care about that.
Well, they do.
I know, but I'm also the guy that watches.
Yeah, or, when they're good.
Or potentially, no, I always watch. I'm in it for longer when they're good.
Right. But they care. Like, they want people to come to this shiny new stadium and watch their, you know.
Drink your $15 beers.
Yeah.
But you know what they can do with that?
Whew, man.
How many $1 hot dogs do you think you could take down? How many loony dogs?
I'm told...
What are you told, Matt?
Like, if you went to the place where you buy the actual cooked $12 hot dog.
What?
I could probably.
Cooked versus uncooked?
Yeah. I bet you could do 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I'm told about the loony dog spots, though, is that they're like cooling already. By the time it's back in your seat, you don't want it anymore. Like.
Okay.
That's what I mean by you go to the normal stand that isn't doing the loony dog thing and you pay whatever it is, $8 for a hot dog, and it tastes like a hot dog.
Okay.
Sometimes the loony dogs are...
like you've already cooked 15,000 of them.
Grabbing a taco at the, you know, 7-Eleven, you're like, it's kind of cold and
I better... The hot dog with the Band-Aid on it.
Get somewhere safe
here pretty soon. Hey, what's going on here? What's up with this?
That would be my concern. I don't know how many of those I could eat. If you were handing me hot dogs I trusted were safe and well prepared.
And not feeling shame, like you were just on your own. You're like, hey, man, there's nobody looking around. I'm just going to take down dogs.
Well, I assume if I'm eating an awful lot of hot dogs at the Dome, I'm probably making my way onto camera at some point. Look at this fat fuck.
Costanza.
Yeah, exactly, man.
U.S. Open, I got ice cream all over my face.
That's it, man. I assume that's going to happen to me.
All right. I'm thinking 6 to 8.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what
don't
the range
load it
I'm
up
in.
With too many condiments.
You know I never do, man.
Just a little mustard, a little ketchup.
Yeah.
Bam!
6 or 8.
Under my helmet. Yeah. I'm with you. I think that's totally doable.
I'm going to spend the same amount on hot dogs as I am on one beer.
Half a beer.
Yeah, probably.
$8 and a half a beer. That's there we go. That's what I got.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dome. I can't wait to come back.
We've always talked about the plumbing of the Sky Dome being a problem when it comes to putting grass in there.
100%.
That's not the problem on Loony Dog Night.
Yeah,
so.
What can you do? What can you do, Matt?
Run fast for Union Station. You'll find a clean stall there.
100%. Can't wait to be in that bottom down the ramp to the right at Union. You're like,
right beside the Cinnabon.
Why does it smell like urine 24/7 in here? I'm dropping trow in here without any kind of concern. No way, man.
Okay, head for the Royal York. I don't know what you're going to do.
Taking my pants off and hanging them over the... You know you're in trouble when you're in a public bathroom and somebody's pants are hanging over the door.
And the bottom third of them are wet.
Yeah.
Like, hanging outside.
No, I'm hoping that's...
Getting on the go train.
Trust me, I'm experienced with this.
At least another hour and 10 minutes.
Shoes come off, but you still have to stand on the shoe as you take your pants off in the public toilet.
Oh, my God.
Come on, man. Don't tell me you haven't been there.
I can tell you I haven't been there.
Okay, I've totally been
loony
there.
Loony dust.
So then you're grabbing the crotch and holding them up so it doesn't...
Yeah.
Okay, well, good for you, man.
I've rubbed my eyes.
Matt's a triathlete.
I've rubbed my eyes, and I think I must have got some of this beer on my fingers or something. The show has to end here.
It does have to end.
So I'm not even going to ask you if you got anything else. We're just going to wrap this one up. Rob is away next week because we're both away next week. We'll find something for you.
Somebody will be here doing something.
Yeah. And coming up this week, a two-pack of AJ Jakubek. His upcoming travels for Copa America the Olympics.
Two-time.
And then teeing up the Ottawa Red Black season, which begins this Thursday. They sat out week one, which is a bummer if you're a CFL fan. I did watch... Blue Bombers and Alouettes on Thursday, the beginning of the season. That was pretty
rematch
cool.
Rematch of the Grey Cup?
Yeah. That was a good showing for Montreal that bummed me out, although it did make me happy because our buddy Lever sat here and said, the rest of the East would be winless, and so Ottawa would still be tied for first in the division. They are not.
Okay. You hate those takes that don't age out of the week.
Well, I think I'm okay with it because it's him that's wrong. You know, as is so often the case.
Very true, though.
Yeah.
Who is making the statement?
Right.
Does make a difference.
Yeah. And so we'll see, the rest of the week one in the CFL. To me, it wasn't all that noteworthy. I'm just anxious to get the Red Blacks fired up.
Let's do it.
We'll see that happen on Thursday. So like I said, look forward to AJ Jakubek later on in the week talking Red Blacks, talking Copa America, talking about his travels to the Olympics.
Talking.
He does a lot of talking. And Lever in his usual spot on Thursday morning. All that still to come this week, and we'll see what the hell's going on next Monday.
Woo-hoo.
Next Monday. For Rob, my name's Matt. Thank you so much for listening. We're on social media at Tall Can Audio. Subscribe to the pod wherever you're hearing us right now. We'll catch you next time.
See ya!
I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.